The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
This is Lynn.
Busy Blend?
This is Lynn.
Oh. We've had a long day. This is Bev.
And together we do
Stuff.
And we're here every Thursday morning at 8:30 in the morning. We are pre-recorded, so don't freak out and think you can call us and get freaked out, because you can't. Because we're not here. So if you would like to be on our show, you can email us at
stuffingforus@gmail.com.
And you can use the same email if you want to send any comments or ask us any questions.
And do. Please
and
do.
We do get emails from you, and we love it. Thank you so much. And we love to have guests on our show. So if you would like to be part of the fun, just send us an email. Let us know. And off we go.
Here we are.
So I have a quote, and it's from Margaret Thatcher. And Margaret Thatcher said, "If you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman." Sorry. Sorry, guys.
I know that sounds really, really bad, but you know what?
Yeah.
It's kind of true.
Yeah. I got a thing that kind of goes with that. Some people ask the secret to our long marriage. It's this. We take time to go to a restaurant twice a week. We have a little candlelight, dinner, soft music, and a nice slow walk home. She goes on Tuesdays, and I go on Fridays.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah. I love it.
All right. That's true or false?
True or false?
Yes. I have two false and one true.
Okay.
Mercury's atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide. It takes 22 months for an elephant to be born. In Ohio, USA, it's illegal to get a fish drunk.
It'd be really fun to see someone do, and then it'd be really fun to watch the fish. Sorry. But it would be really fun to watch the fish.
Okay, so what's your theme for today?
You know, we're all over the place again. And it is still February, I think. Maybe it's March now. Who knows? But spring is coming.
Please be coming.
It's
March 20th.
It's come. March 20th is the first day of spring?
Yeah. Well, March 1st is actually, one is geographical and one is elemental. No, I can't remember.
March 20th is the first day of spring?
Mm-hmm.
That can't be possible.
Why?
Because it's still winter in March and sometimes in April.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. I don't know. That just doesn't seem right. Sorry.
I don't make the calendar.
I have to tell you something cute that happened. So my daughter made this cake for me, and it was amazing. It was chocolate and peanut butter, and it had chocolate ganache on the top.
Oh, cool.
And the ganache was just perfect. It was perfect. And I brought some home, and my granddaughter came over, and we were... Every time we walked through my kitchen, that cake was on a plate, and we would snack on it because the ganache was so good. So we're in the kitchen, and my granddaughter's got it, and she's she's eating it and she's scraping the top off because it's so good. And she's got cake in her mouth and she looks at me and she says, this is so good and the goulash is so good.
Goulash?
What? She said, the goulash is so good. I said, do you mean the ganache?
I've always hated that word because I could never pronounce it.
So the goulash was so good. Okay. All right. So I don't even know where I am. The Japanese word kuchi zamishi is the act of eating when you're not hungry because your mouth is lonely. We do this all the time. We eat because we're not hungry. We eat because our mouth is lonely. Think about it. How many times have you eaten something and thought, I don't know, why did I eat that? She's talking to her mouth. She's trying to communicate with her mouth to find out if her mouth is lonely. I think that's a true thing. I had ice cream the other night, and after I finished, I thought.
Or you're just bored.
I didn't. Probably. Yeah.
I have something similar to that. I have recent recalls.
Oh.
These are from January and February.
Of 2026?
I think so. Yes.
I see, you got that.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, if you've purchased any of the products that I read, do not consume them. Instead, return them to the place of purchase for a refund or dispose of them according to the instructions provided in the recall notice. Stay informed about food recalls by checking resources like the FDA and the foodsafety.gov for the latest updates on food safety alerts and recalls. And the first one I have is a dietary supplement, Green Lumber Dietary Supplement. It's undeclared prescription drug Tadalafil. So I sense they make them over the counter, but it's really got a drug in it.
So it's T-A-D.
T-A-D-A-L-A-F-I-L.
So that was recalled.
That was recalled.
This year, and yep. We're recording in February.
February 13th.
Wow.
They recalled it.
So I had a recall, and I love Trader Joe's, but Trader Joe's issued a recall for their chicken fried rice. Oh. It's frozen in a bag, and you can get vegetable fried rice or chicken fried rice. It's really good.
Yeah.
We had just been there and bought two of the vegetable and two of the chicken.
But they recalled it?
They recalled the chicken because there's glass or some other material in it. Yeah, so if you are a Trader Joe's fan and you have been out to Trader Joe's and you bought some of those, well, if you go to, I don't even remember. It's something I get automatically in my email, but you can probably look up recalls. There is an expiration date that they're saying. If it's an expiration date between those two dates, I think it's an expiration date between like January 2026 and maybe April. And then, of course, they have the number that's on the QR code, or maybe the number that's on the bag that they tell you to look at. And sure enough, I have two bags.
And
we live an hour and, 15 minutes from Trader Joe's? So it's a pain in the neck to go back. But it said there's no expiration date to bring these recalls back.
No expiration date.
You can bring them anytime.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Probably true with what you read, too.
Tippy toes.
Tippy toes.
Which is baby food.
Oh. Oh.
Elevated levels of patulin, whatever that is.
Oh.
P-A-T-U-L-I-N. They're made by the COPAC LLC, Initiative Foods. So don't give your baby Tippy Toes.
Spell it again, Patch.
P-A-T-U-L-I-N.
P-A-T-U-L-I-N. And, of course, I'm looking it up on my phone to see what the heck that is. And it says patulin is a harmful mycotoxin produced by certain molds, most notably penicillin.
Huh.
Which commonly grows on rotting apples and other rotting fruits, as well as their processed products like a juice and a puree. It is heat stable, water soluble, and it's a compound that causes gastrointestinal, neurological issues in humans and animals, and immunological. Found in apples, apple juice, cider, fruit-based products, pears, peaches, grains.
Well, Tippy Toes seems to have a lot of it.
Wow. Tippy Toes, if you have any Tippy Toes.
Get rid of it. All right.
It's really, really scary when you think about when stuff is processed that really anything can happen, you know?
True.
Mistakes happen. And I actually thought about it the other day because I thought about restaurants and things that happen in the kitchen that we don't know about. And it's a little disheartening when you think that way. Like if somebody's in the kitchen and they drop a steak on the floor. Did any of them ever pick it up and put it back on the grill? Yeah. Things like that.
I just figured out why your voice dropped.
Why did it drop?
I had the wrong mic on it.
So did no one can hear me?
No, they could hear you, but it was...
Going in and out?
No, it was just low.
It was low?
Yep, but I put it on the right one now.
So now I might feel like I had a cold before and I don't now?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that.
Okay. Wellesley Farms salmon. Speaking of salmon.
Oh, geez.
Listeria monocytogenes.
I've heard of Wellesley Farms.
Well, I wouldn't eat their salmon.
I wouldn't eat their salmon. And if I have it, I have to bring it back.
Yep.
Wellesley Farms. So here's the thing. You can look that up again. You can look that up and find out where in the country. Does it say?
No, but it says it's put out by Slade Gorton and Company.
Slade Gorton, like the Gorton fishermen.
I wonder. Yeah.
So here's interesting about aspirin. Here's an interesting fact about aspirin.
What?
This book that I'm getting this from is called Mistakes That Worked.
Okay.
For thousands of years, doctors told patients suffering from pain to chew on a bark of willow tree. Even as far back as 400 BC. So in the history that Bev and I have had on the radio, this is, I just went on a side trip. we've had situations where one of us has mispronounced words.
Uh-huh.
And the one of us that I'm speaking about isn't Bev. So I looked at this word, Hippocrates, and I almost said, hypocrites recommended a tea made from willow leaves.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I caught myself.
That's a good one.
I said, oh, gosh, she would have had a field day. A field day with that. So Hippocrates recommended a tea made from willow leaves. It wasn't until the 1800s that scientists discovered what was in the willow tree that relieved the pain and reduced the fever. The substance was named salicylic acid.
Okay.
I almost mispronounced another word. But when people suffering from pain took the acid, it caused severe stomach and mouth irritation.
So...
Because aspirin does upset your stomach.
Yeah, I can't take it.
In 1853, a 37-year-old French chemist named Charles Gerhardt mixed another chemical with the acid and produced good results, but the procedure was difficult and it took a lot of time. Gerhardt decided the new compound wasn't practical, so he set it aside. 41 years later, a German chemist, Felix Hoffmann, was searching for something to relieve his father's arthritis. He studied Gerhardt's experiments, and he rediscovered the acid, which he called aspirin, and this is what we know now today
as
aspirin. Interesting.
It gives me heart palpitations.
Heart? Aspirin?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you're being a bip.
Oh. I don't take aspirin, so I don't know. But, yeah, you're getting like a bip or a skipped beat or a double beat?
Yeah.
Which one?
Sometimes all of it.
Skipped and... Really?
Aspirin is...
Really? You know what does that to me? Caffeine.
Ah.
Yeah. Can't have a lot of caffeine. I had a couple of espressos the other day, and my heart was going berserk.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of June Bar snack bars?
June Bar, no.
Well, they have undeclared milk and soil.
Soil?
Soy. I think it's time for me to quit.
You've been working all day.
Soy.
Soy.
Give them back. They come from granola, Juniper Granola LLC.
Uh-huh. Is it a granola bar? I missed it.
Yes. It's a snack bar.
It's a snack bar.
Maybe it has soil in it. Who knows?
Thomas Sullivan, you know what he invented?
What?
Tea bags.
Were they made of silk?
But he didn't know that he invented tea bags at the time.
Oh, okay.
Sullivan, an American coffee and tea merchant, often sent samples of his products to his customers. The samples were packed in cans. One day in 1904, Sullivan decided it would be simpler and less expensive to send the tea samples in small, hand-sewn silk bags.
I heard somewhere before that there was silk, so...
Yeah. Soon the orders began arriving, but surprisingly, they were not for his tea. The orders were for tea packaged in the little silk bags. The customers had discovered that the small bags made brewing tea easier. Tea bags have been improved over the years, and today over half the tea consumed in American homes is made from the bags, the silk. I wonder if they're silk. Are they silk still?
I don't think they can afford that, can they?
I don't know. Wow. Have you ever seen a silkworm farm?
No.
On TV or on any kind of channel?
No.
It's fascinating.
Really?
Yes. It is. It's very cool. Very cool. All right. While you're speaking, I'm looking up.
Okay. Chips Ahoy.
No.
Chips Ahoy.
No.
Baked brownie bites, food and beverages.
What?
They were recalled on February 4th. 2026 because of choking threats.
What?
The size of them must have been, if you don't, that's the only reason I can think of, they would be choking threats. Baked brownie bites.
Baked brownie bites. What did you say after that? Something about drinks.
The food and beverages product safety is the one that said.
Oh.
No.
So the bites have something in them.
I would say it was more like the size of it. Maybe it gets caught in your windpipe or something.
Oh, the bite itself.
Yeah. I said, all right, folks, we're here all day.
Peanut butter. If you take a spoonful of peanut butter, do you ever do that?
I do.
You could choke on that.
Not if you eat it slowly.
Right. But if you eat the whole glob.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you can choke on that. What was another thing that I was thinking about that you could choke on the other day? I don't remember what it was, but tea bags are made of food-grade paper, often mixed with vegetable fibers like abaca or plastics. Oh, great. Such as nylon, polyethylene, terephthalate, which is PET, and polylactic acid. Well, that doesn't sound good.
No, that doesn't sound appetizing at all.
Doesn't sound good at all. Many conventional paper bags use heat-sealed polypropylene plastic to stay closed, while premium pyramid-shaped bags, you've seen those, right? They look like a little triangle.
Yep.
They consist entirely of nylon or a plant-based PLA. So it also says that tea bags can be made from bleached food-grade paper or abaca pulp, which is banana plant fiber. And they're heat-sealed with polypropylene, meaning they may not be fully compostable.
Okay.
This is making me second-guess.
Other things, yeah.
Tea bags. The pyramid-shaped ones, though, here's another thing about them. They're made from food-grade nylon or plant-based plastic. So they don't sound... But isn't it interesting...
But you don't eat the tea bag.
I know, but it's soaking in the hot water in your tea. Can you imagine what's in that bag? What's in that staple? There's a staple in that bag. There's a staple in that bag.
It's not in the bag. It's in the sign that goes with the bag.
It's in the what?
In the little cardboard thing that goes with, that hangs outside the club, the cup.
But the string is stapled to the bag, too. There's a little, oh, maybe the string, you're right. The string is inside the bag. It goes in and then they glue it with that poison.
Oh, geez.
We're all being poisoned with everything.
Oh,
you want
to
watch
safe.
A documentary, people? I just watched a documentary. It's called Buy Now. Look it up.
B-U-Y or B-I?
B-U-Y. Mm. Buy yeah. Now. Yeah. You're Buy Now.
And I'm thinking I'm going to have enough problems just looking for added sugars. It's amazing what they put added sugars into. Just about everything you can think of.
Are you using the app, the Aura app, whatever it was called, that app?
I forget. No, not anymore.
You're just reading labels?
Yeah, because I stopped using the app because it wouldn't let me eat everything. Anything I wanted to eat was bad.
That's why you had to just judge. Okay, what? I'm eating four good things today. I can eat one bad thing. So it is true. There's sugar in things you'd never even believe there was sugar in.
Yeah. Some of it's not even food.
What?
Drinks like, and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think one glass of like Pepsi or Coke has something like 14 or 17 teaspoons of sugar in a 16-ounce glass?
That's not bad compared to some of the others.
Oh. A lot of sugar.
I'm going to go home and check my Gatorade powder.
Oh, you think there's sugar in there?
Yeah.
You think?
Rice Krispies has
no
sugar.
No.
Yep.
They don't taste sugary. Oh. Do you drink soda?
No.
A 12-ounce can of soda. Just 12.
I shouldn't say no. I did for a while, but I don't now.
Okay. Just a 12-ounce can, 39 to 40 grams of sugar for one can.
Holy moly.
So it's 9.5 to 10 teaspoons of sugar. This amount often exceeds the recommended daily limit for sugars, with popular options like Coca-Cola, which is 39 grams, and Sprite, 61 grams.
What's got 61 grams?
Sprite.
Oh, my God.
Significantly contributing to caloric intake. Now, I have chosen...
That can make you pre-diabetic.
Sure can. Sure can. A mini can... Oh, I'm sorry. We're off on a... 7.5-ounce mini can of soda is 25 grams of sugar. 12-ounce can is 39 to 40. 16-ounce bottle of soda is 52 grams of sugar. And a 20-ounce bottle is 65 to 72 grams of sugar. And like you said, weight gain, obesity, type 2 diabetes, and cardiovascular issues.
Gee.
And most sodas are high fructose corn syrup, although some use cane sugar, and there is no nutritional value. Oh, sorry, people.
What you're drinking is going to kill you.
Oh, man, that's just so bad.
Wow.
And I love root beer. And when I have root beer, I have root beer float. So I put ice cream in it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do it often. But, ouch.
Speaking of fish.
Yes, fish. Love fish.
No brand dried croaker fish.
Ouch.
I don't know what a croaker fish is. Let's see. This product was not adequately eviscerated and may harbor harmful bacteria or toxins. Have you ever heard of prime food processing?
No, have you?
No, but that's where it comes from.
I've never heard of a croaker fish, so I'm not worried about it because I don't think I would ever buy or eat croaker fish unless it's in a restaurant and it's white fish and they're telling me it's white fish, but it's really croaker.
And it's spelled croakers, C-R-O-A-K-E-R.
I bet it's frog.
Did you say frog?
They croak.
Oh, I'm ready to go home.
And they're in the water, so maybe they call frogs croaker fish.
Oh, yuck. Okay.
So, popsicles. How they do that? On September 7th, no, this can't be true. On September 7th, 1975, the West Side Assembly of God Church in Davenport, Iowa, made a huge iced pop. The Guinness Book of World Records listed their 5,750-pound popsicle, the largest one on a stick. It was on a stick. The frozen treat might have been
big,
but it wasn't. But it wasn't a genuine popsicle. You can't say popsicle. You can't call it a popsicle.
Oh, okay.
They're calling it an iced pop.
Oh,
because
okay.
Popsicle is a brand name. It's a registered trademark, and it's under a patent.
Okay.
Popsicles were actually invented in 1905 by an 11-year-old, and his name was Frank Epperson.
By an 11-year-old?
Yes. He was in California, and he invented it by accident. One day, good old Frankie mixed some soda water powder and water, which was a popular drink in those days. He left the mixture on the back porch overnight with his stirring stick in it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The temperature dropped to a record low that night, and the next day, good old Frankie had a stick of frozen soda water to show his friends.
That's
at
so cool.
School. 18 years later, in 1923, little Frankie remembered his frozen soda water mixture and began a business producing Epsicles because his last name was Epperson.
Oh, okay.
And he made it in seven fruit flavors. The name was later changed to Popsicle.
Huh. I wonder why.
Yeah. That's quite not quite fair.
Maybe he became a dad. You never know.
Yeah, that's cute. Maybe he did.
That's Popsicle.
Popsicle. I love these kind of things that tell you that, you know, even your mistakes.
Yeah. Approximately 6,000 pounds of Lorraine Kish products containing pork were recalled because they were not presented for import reinspection into the United States. And that was December 19, 2025.
And that was what?
Approximately 6,000 pounds of Lorraine quiche.
Oh, because it was quiche Lorraine, and it was Lorraine quiche. Isn't that clever?
So, it's quiche. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Quiche Lorraine by Lorraine quiche.
Kielbasa.
Oh.
About 1,930 pounds of ready-to-eat holiday kielbasa sausages were recalled due to potential contamination with foreign material metal. And that was announced on December 19, 2025.
Right before the holidays. When
Holy
people
cow.
Buy that stuff for
Did you know that?
Appetizers and all. No, I don't think I've eaten kielbasa in a long while. But when I do, you know what I load on top of it?
What?
Horseradish. Lots of it.
Horseradish on kielbasa?
Oh, yeah, on kielbasa, on ham. My kids and I could eat a jar of that in one meal, just putting it on ham or kielbasa.
Oh.
Yeah,
when you
really...
said you didn't want to eat it.
Oh, my mouth is watering. Kielbasa with... Oh, I'm hungry. Oh. I might have to go to the store and get some kielbasa. Okay. Fudge.
What about fudge?
The first definition of the word fudge is nonsense or foolishness. When you fudge something, are we taking a break right now?
Yeah.
So after the break, we're going to learn more about fudge.
Well, maybe we are. There we are.
We are. We will.
For some reason.
We can edit this.
And SBR Lee.
What the hey? See, I'm not used to this board.
Right, because we're in a different room.
We're not in the big room.
No, we're going in the big room Monday. Oh, I don't usually use these ear things. They're making my earrings stick into my neck.
What happened to your little pods?
They're in my bag.
Okay.
I forgot to pull them out. I saw these sitting down. Maybe that's why things sound funny to me. It sounds hollow. It sounds kind of hollow in here.
Yeah.
With these things on my ears.
It definitely sounds different.
Yeah. I miss home. I miss our home studio. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
That way, you know exactly where we are.
That's right.
And who we are.
That's right. I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And together we do this stuff called
Stuff.
And this is the second half of our show. And we have true or false.
Mercury's atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide. It takes 22 months for an elephant to be born. In Ohio, it is illegal to get a fish drunk.
I think this is easy.
Only one of these is true.
Okay. Not monoxide. Dioxide.
Dioxide.
Which is what we exhale.
Mm-hmm.
Monoxide kills you. Make sure you have your carbon monoxide detectors in your house.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I know you do.
Yeah.
But make sure you have your smoke detectors and your carbon monoxide detectors, because you know what? You don't need them, but you could.
Okay.
Could save your life. Fudge. We were talking about fudge.
Yep.
The story says that in the 1890s, a candy maker in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was supervising his employees as they made caramels.
Caramel.
Oh, yeah. Someone made a mistake, and instead of producing a chewy candy, the batch turned into a finely crystallized, non-chewy substance.
Still sounds good.
Fudge, the candy maker swore. You know, because I know my grandmother would say fudge.
Yeah.
And that was in place of saying something worse.
Yeah.
And with that exclamation to describe the mistake, fudge was born. Through the years, there have been many variations of fudge. But here's a simple recipe. I won't read it. You can look it up.
Oh.
And, oh.
I was waiting here if it's that simple.
Oh, well, it's got 7 ingredients.
Oh, well.
So it's got a 6-ounce package of semi-sweet chocolate morsels, a 2-3-ounce package of cream cheese. Oh, 4 cups of sifted confectionery sugar.
4 cups.
That's a lot of sugar. But remember, you're only going to eat 1 little piece of fudge.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are. 2 tablespoons of evaporated milk, 1.5 teaspoons of vanilla, 1/4 teaspoon of salt. And it says nuts, but
I don't go for the nuts.
So you got to do all kinds of stuff with a double boiler and all that, but the cream cheese part.
Cream cheese
makes it sound good to me.
Huh.
Because I don't really like fudge. It's too dense.
Oh.
And if you get the wrong kind, it's grainy. People, do you know what I'm talking about? It's grainy. It can be grainy. You want it to be smooth.
Like grainy? I don't know.
Like goulash. Like a ganache. Yeah. Cream cheese.
You drink tea, right?
Not often.
Do you ever drink any herbal tea?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Senna leaf herbal?
Oh, no.
Well, that was recalled due to potential salmonella contamination.
Oh.
And it was distributed in several states, including Florida and New York. And consumers are advised not to consume it.
Brand name again?
Senna. S-E-N-N-A, leaf herbal tea.
Here's the thing. How do we know? You know, here we are, we're buying stuff. And if we're not privy to that information, and we have it in our houses, how do we know?
I don't know. I went on the web to find the recalls, and there are 2 different places to look, and they have hundreds and hundreds of recalls.
Wow.
So.
That's really
scary.
Really scary.
Yep.
And when you think of tea, it's dry. How could it have salmonella? I don't think of something dry having salmonella. Do you?
Not really. Who knows?
So, yeah, I do. Like I told you, I do get emails from this place that tells me what things have been recalled. I'll have to pay attention next time I get one or look in my deleteds and see if I can find one. And maybe I can share that. Or if someone else has any information or ideas about this so that people can find out about recalls in a timely manner and in a way that they can, you know, they can, well, timely, they can get them right away. They can email us and let us know.
FDA.gov.
FDA.gov?
Yep.
Okay. Any thoughts? Email us.
By Heart Whole Nutrition Infant Formula.
Oh, no.
This product was involved in an ongoing botulism outbreak recall with warnings issued to major retailers like Walmart and Target regarding the sale of the recalled product. So that means to me that if you want to find out if something is recalled, you have to go and talk to the store, Walmart, Target, all that. They're supposed to be giving you warnings.
How?
I don't know. By taking it off their shelves?
But what if you bought it and then you're home and you broke your leg and you're recovering and you have a cast and you have all the food you need because you bought it already and now you're just home and you're eating candy watching soap operas.
You're going to get sick. You're just going to get sick, you know? Yeah.
And then they're going to blame it on your surgery and they're going to say that the anesthetic that you had while they were doing surgery on your leg is what's making you sick. And you keep eating the food because you don't think the food is making you sick. And then you die on your couch and people find you
Ladies
laying there with your broken leg. And they come in and they sign your cast.
Calm down. She's getting a little anxious here.
Trouser cuffs.
Trouser cuffs?
Cuffs.
Oh, cuffs.
You could have something there. You could invent something there. So a story is told about the beginning of the cuff, C-U-F-F, uh-huh. on the bottom of men's trousers, that little roll-up thing at the bottom, at the pant leg, near the ankle.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly, a large formal wedding was being held in New York in the 1890s. A very fashionable Englishman was invited, but on the way to the church, he was caught in a rainstorm. The man did not want to spoil his trousers. So he quickly rolled up the bottoms so that they would not get wet. Because of the storm, the Englishman was late, so he hurried into the church, forgetting to roll his pant legs down again. Other guests noticed the rolled-up trousers, but they didn't realize there was a real practical reason for the cuffs. They thought the turnip was the latest in men's fashion. The cuff quickly caught on in America, and quite by accident, the Englishman started a style that still reoccurs every few years in men's fashion.
And women's.
Yeah. I like cuffs.
I do too.
Yeah. It's cute. They show a little picture here of a bride and a groom. They're getting married. The pastor's there. Someone's holding her train, and they're in a blow-up swimming pool.
Sure, why not?
His cuffs are rolled up so his pants don't get wet. It's actually really cute. Okay.
All right. We have about 13 more minutes.
Oh, I love this next one. Okay.
What is it?
No, go ahead. This is long.
Oh, okay.
I'll try to cut it short.
Approximately 2,669 pounds of frozen tamale products were recalled.
Ouch.
Due to misbranding and undeclared allergens, milk. This recall was announced on December 14, 2025, and they come from La Guadalupana Foods.
Never heard of it.
Guadalupana.
So it's got
Guadalupana.
It's got milk.
Apparently, in the tamales.
And they didn't disclose.
They didn't brand it right.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This contains milk, and if you're allergic to milk, you can't eat this. Kind of thing.
You should have instead of the kind of commercials we have on TV during shows that I hate, I hate watching TV because I hate commercials.
Uh-huh.
But they could do recalls.
Oh.
They could do little 10-second.
Something that makes sense.
15-second recalls instead of telling you to take the drug Albertoxin for, you know.
They not only have commercials, they repeat the same commercials.
Yes, they do. Velcro.
What about Velcro?
George D. Mistral, a Swiss engineer, returned from a walk one day in 1948 and found some cockleburrs, clinging to his cloth jacket. When he loosened them, he examined one under his microscope.
Oh, just because.
Right, and we all have a microscope.
Yeah.
The principle was simple. The burr is a maze of thin strands with burrs or hooks on the ends that cling to fabrics or animal furs. I'm sure you've had that happen to you before.
Constantly.
By the accident of the cockle burr sticking to his jacket, George D. Mistral recognized the potential for a practical new fastener. Did it say what year this is? 1948.
That's, wow.
The principle was simple. Okay, we did that. They stuck to his jacket, new fastener. It took 8 years to experiment, develop, and perfect the invention, which consists of two strips of nylon fabric. One strip contains thousands of the small hooks. The other strip contains small little loops. Small little? Is it small or is it little? When the two strips... What is small
tiny.
Little? Is small little smaller than small?
It's teeny tiny.
Littler than little? Teeny tiny?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it teeny or tiny? Is teeny tiny or is tiny teeny? When the two strips are pressed together, they form a strong bond. Hook and loop fastener is what they call it today, or Velcro. The name Demestral gave his product is the brand most people call it in the United States, Velcro. It's strong, easily separated, thousands of uses for it.
I named my dog Velcro.
Why?
Because she didn't want to go outside in the snow. She stuck herself to the front door and wouldn't go out.
So
actually, her name is Bella, but it's Bella Velcro.
It is? You changed it? So do you call her Velcro in the winter?
No.
Oh.
She still doesn't like it.
She won't go play?
No.
No. Did she ever try it once and realize she's not going out again? Did she have an experience?
Not that I know of. I had her when she was a puppy, so as a puppy, she didn't like it. So ever since then, she's, you know, she'll go if she has to, because she has to go.
Yes. But she won't go far.
No.
No. Like stay on the porch.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's a porch peer?
I think we've had enough of whatever it is we're doing. Still got 10 minutes.
Yeah, I've got more.
Why not natural? This is sad.
If that's a product?
That's a product. Why not natural? Organic, moringa, green superfood, food and beverages with foodborne illness, potential foodborne illness, salmonella. It's called Why Not Natural. Well, now I can tell you why not natural.
So... You know how there's times when you get like this thing and you think it's a stomach bug or you get ticked your stomach and you just kind of blow it off and you let it go by? Is it something like this that you never knew got recalled that made you sick for a little while?
Oh.
Yeah.
We're getting deep into that.
Yeah.
Fuju fish balls. Undeclared allergen, sesame, wheat. It's from the Koi Koi Trading Income. What's INC?
Inc. Incorporated.
My mind is dying.
That's all right. That's what I'm here for. We help each other.
Okay. That's all.
They're little fish balls?
Little fish balls.
Fuju. Well, I wouldn't eat one anyway.
No?
No. What did it have in it? Sesame seeds?
Sesame and wheat.
Did it have fish in it?
It's a fish ball.
It's got to have fish in it. I don't know. My granddaughter eats the seaweed snacks. She'll eat a whole pack of them.
Seaweed?
Yes. It's like thin seaweed paper. It's very, very thin. extremely thin. How thin? Very thin.
Never tried it.
When she eats those, the smell is horrible.
Really? What does it smell like?
Dead fish.
Oh.
And she had me try one time. Nope. Couldn't even swallow.
That makes me think of kale, which I don't actually hate.
Worse that I like kale. This is different. Okay. This is dead fish smell. Like when you go to a lake and you're on the shore and there's a bunch of dead fish, like washing up with the water onto the dirt, and you can smell that smell. It's not. No. And she's funny. She'll say, "Mima, I'll save you one." No. Bangor, Maine. Where in the world is Bangor, Maine?
It's not that far from the coast.
Bangor's a city in Maine.
Yes.
The New England state at the northeastern tip of the United States. But Bangor was not always this city's name. In fact, Bangor was named by mistake.
I wonder who decided it was going to be Bangor.
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
In 1772, long after Columbus supposedly discovered the Americas, a settlement was established called Kanduskeg Plantation. Kanduskeg. By 1791, it had 576 residents. The village elders decided to petition the governing Massachusetts legislature to incorporate the settlement so it would be considered a city.
But it was in Maine.
It was. The people of Kanduskeg Plantation selected Reverend Seth Noble to make the journey to apply for incorporation and have their city named Sunbury.
Sunbury.
Reverend Noble, being a religious man, often sang beautiful hymns.
Aww.
He also indulged in alcoholic beverages.
Uh-huh. There it goes.
It is assumed that Reverend Noble was intoxicated when he arrived at the incorporation office, because when he was asked the new name for the town, he began singing one of his favorite hymns, Bangor. I have never heard of that hymn.
No.
I have to look that up. The clerk entered Bangor on the official document, and that's the name the city uses today.
I wonder what the city did to him when he went home.
Well, you ask? Were the town folk angry? History says they weren't. They knew their reverend had good intentions, and they agreed it couldn't hurt to have their city named after a hymn.
Well, there you go. What a hey.
And we know our listeners are looking up Bangor hymn. And we know that somebody's going to say, hey, our church should sing that hymn.
Hey, and somebody's going to be telling us.
To sing it?
No, to know about it.
Bangor? Doesn't even sound like a nice hymn sound.
That makes me think of Gregor.
Gregor? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more month.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Mercury's atmosphere is made up of carbon dioxide. It takes 22 months for an elephant to be born. In Ohio, USA, it is illegal to get a fish drunk. Which one is true?
I think it takes 22 months to have a baby elephant. That's true. Yay!
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Mercury's atmosphere isn't made up of anything because it has no atmosphere.
Oh, that's right.
And it's... In Ohio, you can get a fish drunk if you want to. I'd like to see you try.
How would you do that? Do you have a baby bottle?
After you catch him and you put him in the box, you fill the box with beer.
Wouldn't that kill him?
Didn't catching him and putting him...
in fishy. Sorry. That's why that the I've been in restaurants where they have drunken fish is the on the menu.
No.
Yes, drunken fish. Drunken chicken. That'd be funny to watch.
Run around without your head, all right.
It'd be funny to watch a drunk chicken. What other animal would be funny to see drunk? A sloth.
They'd probably just fall down and go to sleep.
I think a chicken. All right. That's the end of our show. Thank you for listening. Are we?
We're out. The views and opinions on this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.